to chapter 4, text 18, and I made sure I put the link to that particular verse in the email. And as we progress, then you can keep hitting the next button at the bottom of the page to go to the next verse, or you can go back to chapter view if you want. So we're reading this thing about how the Lord is so powerful that He can accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through His bona fide representative as a spiritual master. So even if these people are addicted to sinful actions, the Lord purifies them. So that is our hope. We are addicted to a lot of different things. We have a lot of different sinful tendencies. But the Lord is so powerful and merciful that He will accept us. So our plea when we are chanting every morning is, "Oh Krishna, please accept us. You know, please accept me in your service." We are not qualified to do His service actually. But it is by the mercy of gurus that we get some hope. Alright, so we may be in any part of the world and we may be in any, you know, we may be addicted to all kinds of sinful reactions, but because the Lord Himself accepts us, and the Lord's devotees are more merciful than the Lord Himself, they accept us and they accept our service. So here we are going to read this verse now, text 2, 4, 18. Kirata honangara pulenda pulkasha abhira shumbhaya vanakha sadaya yenye cha papa yada pashraya shraya shudhyanti tasmai prabha vishnave namaha. Translation. Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumbha, Yavana, members of the Khasa races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Can someone please read the purport? Halfway through it, at least the description till of all the races till the Khasa race.
I can read it.
Yes, thank you so much. So you have the verse number right, 2418.
Yes, I do. Should I start from Kirata, a province of?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Kirata, a province of Gol Bharata Varsa. Mentioned in the Bhishma Parva Mahabharata, generally the Kiratas are known as the aboriginal tribes of India, and in modern days, the Sanchal Sardanas in Bihar and Chota Nagpur might comprise the old province named Kirata. Huna, the area of East Germany and part of Russia, is known as the province of the Hunans. Accordingly, sometimes a kind of hill tribe is known as the Hunan. Andhra, a province in southern India, mentioned in the Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata, it is still extant under this same name. Pulinda. It is mentioned in the Mahabharata, Adi Parva 174.38, the inhabitants of the province of the name Pulinda. This country was conquered by Bhishma, Bhishma, Sena and Sahadeva. The Greeks are known as Pulinda, and it is mentioned in the Vana Parva of Mahabharata that the non-Vedic race of this part of the world would rule over the world. This Pulinda province was also one of the provinces of Bharata, and the inhabitants were classified among the Kshatriya kings. But later on, due to their giving up the Brahmanical culture, they were mentioned as Nilichas, just as those who are not the followers of Islamic cultures are called Kafirs, and those who are not followers of the Christian culture are called Heathen. Abhira. This name also appears in the Mahabharata, both in the Sabha Parva and Bhishma Parva. It is mentioned that this province was situated on the river Saraswati in Sindh. The modern Sindh province formerly extended on the other side of the Arabian Sea, and all the inhabitants of that province were known as Abhiras. They were under the domination of Maharaja Yudhishthir, and according to the statement of Markandeya, the militias of this part of the world, would also rule over Bharata. Later on, this proved to be true, as in the case of the Pulindas. On behalf of the Pulindas, Alexander the Great conquered India. On behalf of the Aviras, Muhammad Ghori conquered India. These Aviras were also formerly Kshatriyas within the Brahminical culture, but they gave up their connection. The Kshatriyas, who were afraid of the Parashurama, and had hidden themselves in the Caucasian hilly region, later on became known as the Aviras, and the place they inhabited was known as Aviradesa. Sumbas or Kanakas. These inhabitants of the Kanaka province of old Bharata mentioned in the Mahabharata. Yavanas. Yavana was the name of one of the sons of Maharaja Yayati, who was given the part of the world known as Turkey to rule. Therefore, the Turks are Yavanas due to being descendants of Maharaja Yavana. The Yavanas were therefore Kshatriyas, and later on, by giving up the Brahmanical culture, they became Milita Yavanas. Descriptions of the Yavana are in the Mahabharata, Adi Parva 85.34. Another prince called Turvasu was also known as Yavana, and his country was conquered by Sahadeva, one of the Pandavas. The western Yavana joined with the Yodhan in the Battle of Kurukshetra under the pressure of Karna. It was also foretold that these Yavanas also would conquer India, and it proved to be true. Khasa. The inhabitants of the Khasa are mentioned in the Mahabharata Drona Parva. Those who have a stunted growth of hair on the upper lip are generally called Khasas. As such, the Khasas are the Mongolians, the Chinese, and the others who are so designated. The above mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in simple acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of the world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. These devotees are interested in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda, and that the value of human life of a human being is not spoiled in the following a type of civilization which is ultimately true. If the politicians therefore would be guided by good counsel of the devotees, then certainly there would be a great change in the world situation by the purifying propaganda of the devotees, as shown by Lord Caitanya. As Sukadeva Goswami began his prayer by discussing the word yat eternam, so also Lord Caitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy name, a tremendous change of heart can take place by which a complete misunderstanding between the human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. And after the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, go back to Godhead, as we have several times discussed in these pages.
Thank you. Thank you so much for reading so nicely. Srila Prabhupada's purports are wonderful, and your reading makes it even more wonderful. Thank you very much. And as we can see that this few things I wanted all of us to read when we read all of these things is that it was not that there was some Aryan invasion theory, and it was not that there was some kind of evolution. All these races in East Germany, in these places mentioned in China and Mongolia, and also where in Turkey, Alexander, all these places, all these people, all these different races were always existing. And most of these Kshatriyas were the ones who were not following the Kshatriya principles properly, in Varnashram Dharma properly. And when, because they became afraid of Parshurama, because he was a, after all the Kshatriyas were not following the principles properly and he was ready to kill them. So then they became afraid of him and they escaped to these different places. So we have to understand that, and these, all these races that are mentioned here are the ones who did not follow the Varnashram Dharma. So we think that Shudra was considered the lowest, but actually Shudra is considered good because at least they are following the Dharma. They realize that their position is to serve and they serve the other classes. But they still follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma about their duties and their responsibilities and marriage and these kind of things. But these other races were not even within the realm of Varnashram Dharma. They were lower than that. So therefore they are considered as Mlechhas and Yavanas and all. Like if you remember, they'll say Yavan Naresh. This is what they used to call Alexander, I think, the Turkey, this, all these people. And like Khasa also, this race is the ones who have stunted growth of hair on the upper lip are generally called as Khasas. So basically they are that particular race, the Oriental race. So no matter what situation of life you are in, no matter whether you are following Varnashram Dharma or not, Krishna is so merciful, he will accept us. And he will accept us in this chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And he will show us the mercy, he will show us the way, and we will gradually become purified by being in this Vaishnava cult. And now this work is of reclaiming fallen souls back home, back to Godhead, is being carried out by all the spiritual masters who travel all over the world. All of disciples of Srila Prabhupada and all these great devotees, they are traveling all over the world to give their association and to connect people to the science of Krishna. So now there is a lot of preaching going on in China also, and our own teacher Radha Krishna Prabhu goes there once a year, and also His Holiness Ramapada Swami goes there once a year. And so many different places, so much preaching is going on. You name it and there is Krishna consciousness going on over there. Whether it's South America, whether it's Canada, whether it's in Ireland, whether it's in Scotland, whether it's in the whole of Russia, even if it's war-torn countries like Ukraine and things like that, or even in Africa and Australia, New Zealand, everywhere there are devotees of the Lord who have gone, these representatives of the Lord are gone, and they are reclaiming these souls back home, back to Godhead. So it's very wonderful. There's so much mercy. So we also want to learn how to be merciful, just like the Lord and the devotees of the Lord. So we'll read the last paragraph. It says, the conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can under any and every circumstance accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through His bona fide manifestation as a spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than the Varnashramites. So he's telling, even Lord Chaitanya accepted devotees from communities other than those following the Varnashram Dharma, as we are discussing. And he himself declared to teach us that he does not belong to any caste or social order of life, but that he is the eternal servant of the Lord who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan, Lord Krishna. That is the way of self-realization. So he says, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. Das 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 Anudas, yeah. So we also want to follow in Lord Chaitanya's footsteps, and we want to freely give this mercy of the Lord to everyone. So now how do we apply it in our life? This compassion principle, how do we apply it in our life? One thing is preaching. We are dealing with so many different type of people. So we can, by our own example, actually our example is more powerful than our words. If we follow Krishna consciousness nicely, automatically people will be attracted to that. And then that means they are attracted to Krishna. But another thing is, we cannot discriminate like that. There will be different people at different levels of consciousness. And there will be different people who have different habits, different thought processes. They may disagree with us. They may be hostile to us. They may not like us. They may talk badly about us. They may do a lot of things. But in our heart, we should always be compassionate and we should always be merciful. And we should always pray to the Lord for their welfare. And we should always be nice to them. And what does being nice to them does not mean just exchanging some pleasantries. Really being nice is to pray for their spiritual advancement. No matter what anyone does to us or no matter how anyone behaves, we should not discriminate. Of course, sometimes we have to draw the line, we have to draw boundaries, you know, to protect and things like that. But in our heart, we should not have any hard feelings towards anyone. And we should always pray for their welfare. Pray for their spiritual welfare. Like that. So it's important to have this same compassion mood that the Lord has and His devotees have. We have to also develop this thing. Text 19. Saishat patavatam adhishwaras Traimayo dharmamayastapomayah Gatavyalike rajashankaradibhir Vitarkyalingo bhagavan prasidatam. He is the super soul and the supreme lord of all self-realized souls. He is the personification of the Vedas, religious scriptures and austerities. He is worshipped by Lord Brahma and Shiva and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. Being so revered with awe and veneration, may that Supreme Absolute be pleased with me. So here again, Sukadev Goswami, it's in continuation with how the Lord's devotional service is so powerful and His ways are inconceivable, and how that Lord, who is the Supreme Lord and the Super Soul, He is a personification in everyone, personification of all the Vedas, He is worshipped by all the Devis and Devtas, the demigods. And I request that that Supreme Lord, please be pleased with me, so that please have mercy on me. I know I have a lot of different desires in my heart. I know I am after the sense gratification more than I am after the lotus feet of the Lord. But oh Lord, please have mercy on me. I know I desire to serve you, but I get distracted by all of these different things. Now there is a very important point that is mentioned in this purport about worshipping without pretensions. And Prabhupada explains this thing very nicely in the first paragraph and then also in the last paragraph. So if we want the Lord to be pleased with us, we have to worship without any pretensions. And we'll read the purport. Malvika, can you please read the first paragraph of the purport for all of us?
Sure. Hare Krishna. The Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, although the Lord of all followers of different paths of self-realization, is knowable only by those who are above all pretension. Everyone is searching for eternal peace or eternal life, and with an aim to this destination, everyone is either studying the Vedic scriptures or other religious scriptures or undergoing severe austerity as empiric philosophers, as mystic yogis, or as unalloyed devotees, etc. But the Supreme Lord is perfectly realized only by the devotees because they are above all pretensions. Those who are on the path of self-realization are generally classified as karmis, jnanis, yogis, or devotees of the Lord. The karmis, who are much attracted by the fruitative activities of the Vedic rituals, are called bhakti kami, or those who desire material enjoyment. The jnanis, who try to become one with the Supreme by mental speculation, are called mukti kami, or those who desire liberation from material existence. The mystic yogis, who practice different types of austerity for the attainment of eight kinds of material perfection, and who ultimately meet the super soul Paramatma in trance, are called siddhi kami. Or those who desire the perfection of becoming finer than the finest, become heavier than the heaviest, making everything desired, having control over everyone, creating everything like, etc. All these are abilities of a powerful yogi. But the devotees of the Lord do not want anything like that for self-satisfaction. They only want to serve the Lord because the Lord is great and as living entities, they are eternally subordinate parts and parcels of the Lord. This perfect realization of the self by the devotee helps him to become desireless, to desire nothing for his personal self, and thus the devotees are called Nishkami, without any desire. A living entity, by his constitutional position, cannot be void of all desire. The bhakti kami, mukti kami, and siddhi kami all desire something for personal satisfaction. But the nishkami devotee of the Lord desire nothing for the satisfaction of the Lord.
Desire everything for the satisfaction of the Lord.
On the orders of the Lord, and are always ready to discharge their duties for the satisfaction of the Lord.
Thank you. So, the nishkami devotees desire everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. So, we want to become like them. Now, here Prabhupada is explaining that we should desire nothing for our personal self. Now, one may think, oh, I don't desire anything for myself, but I desire for my children, I desire for my husband. So, one thing is, what are we desiring for our children and husband? What is the quality of our desire? Are we desiring something in the material platform, or are we desiring that their greatest advancement should be at the spiritual level? And what are we desiring here? So when Prabhupada says desire nothing, means you don't have any material desires. You have all spiritual desires to grow spiritually, to serve to the Krishna, to chant his holy names, to serve the devotees of the Lord, to help the Lord in spreading his mission of reclaiming fallen souls back home, back to Godhead, like that. In this context, this pretensions thing, I was reading one because we are now making some videos as a part of our Bhakti Woman series on YouTube. And I don't know how many of you saw the latest one we had about Diti versus Devahuti, conception and pregnancy. So we're trying to present sound bites of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4 minutes or 5 minutes, so that people get the essence of the story and the essence of that point and how they can practically apply in their life. It's a very interesting service. We're trying to do it because it's Bhakti Woman. We're trying to do things mostly related to the women devotees of the Lord, and we're trying to present those from Srimad Bhagavatam. And once we finish the project about Bhagavatam, we might go to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahabharata, and other scriptures. But Bhagavatam itself is very vast and expansive. So this thing about no pretensions, I was reading, we're trying to present one thing about, we're trying to have a series on wifehood based on Srimad Bhagavatam. That how the different women devotees that are being described in the first 9 cantos and further, how they, such Krishna conscious elevated Vaishnavis, and how they practice their wifehood so wonderfully. So there was this one thing where, and again it is about without pretensions, I found it very inspiring. And hopefully by the mercy of all the devotees on this call, we might be able to present a video at some point. Whenever possible. But just to go through that pastime was very inspiring for me. It was about this, when Bali Maharaj, he is the leader of all the demons, he is the grandson of Parikshit Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and he is bound by the ropes of Varuna, and because he's Vamandev asked him for 3 steps of land as a Brahmana, and then Bali Maharaj is not able to, within 2 steps Vamandev conquers everything. So in the 3rd step, Bali Maharaj thinks of offering his head. And finally, he is bound by the ropes of Varuna. And then Lord Brahma comes over there, and then he speaks. And then Parikshit Maharaj, who is the grandfather of, Prahlad Maharaj, who is the grandfather of Bali Maharaj, he also speaks and glorifies the Lord. That, thank you for doing this. Then Bali Maharaj's wife comes over there. And so her husband, who used to be the leader of the pack of demons, has actually lost everything. He's lost the kingdom, he's lost his riches, he's lost his self-respect, he's lost everything. And, I was hearing a lecture and it said that what would I as a woman do if we were in that situation? And the lecture was very interesting because it said that, but what does, and what is the contrast between what we would do and what Vindhyavali does? So Vindhyavali does this, she goes in front of the Lord and she says that actually you are the controller and proprietor of everything, but people falsely think they are the controller and proprietor and they claim it as their own. And when you ask them for charity, then they offer it as charity, something like that. And so she was basically condemning her husband that who are you to give charity to Vamandev? He is anyway the proprietor and controller of everything. How come you could not recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And then she says, it's very nice that my husband has been bound by ropes because this will set his mentality properly. That is her basic, like, you know, that is what she's trying to say. I'm not able to speak properly on this particular point. But what she's trying to say is that, hey, you know, what is the success of my marriage? The success of my marriage is not that we have all the wealth and riches of the world. The success of my marriage is that we're both together surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are making spiritual advancement. So here by Bali Maharaj offering his head so that the Vamandev can step on it is kind of surrendering to the Lord fully. And that is the success of my marriage. Not that we are materially embarrassed or not that we are losing all the material things, not that we are losing all our wealth and prestige. But my marriage is so successful because my husband has gotten a chance to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are directly receiving the Lord's blessings, even if it is very embarrassing. But that is our great fortune. So, then I was thinking that, you know, would I be able to speak like that? Would I be able to be in that situation? How many times I have been in that situation and how many times, you know, am I trying to run after protecting the name, fame, wealth and things like that? So then if we connect it with what we are reading today, to desire nothing for the personal self, when we even desire something for our children and all, somewhere it is connected to us. As Prabhupada explains, it is self and extended self. So it is better to change the quality of desires. We will desire. The desires cannot stop. So we want to change the quality of desires. We don't want to think about how much wealth they'll have or how much prestige and how much this. We want to think the success of myself as a parent or as a wife or anyone I'm connected with is measured with how nicely we are advancing spiritually. So materially we may be in a very embarrassing situation, does not matter. But are we advancing spiritually in this situation? And when we do that and we find, we become, make ourselves completely dependent upon the Lord, then the Lord is pleased with us. When we have the right perspective of what is real, what am I after, when we serve without pretensions in that way, and we are completely dependent upon the Lord and we continuously discharge our duty for the satisfaction of the Lord, right? In the first canto, second chapter, we read, Ahaituki apratihata yayatma su prasidati. So the devotional service, the supreme occupation for all mankind is devotional service unto the Lord, which should continue ahaituki and apratihata. Ahaituki is causelessly and apratihata means without any disturbance by material impediments of time or of circumstances or anything. So when we discharge our duty for the satisfaction of the Lord like that, uninterruptedly and unmotivated way, then the Lord is pleased. Usually there will be an interruption in our duty when there is some motivation or there is some change in circumstances. And if that affects us, then we have to understand that, you know, we have some time, we still need to grow in our bhakti. And because we are still, you know, something we desired was not satisfied, did not go according to us, our motivation was not satisfied or whatever, so we stopped something. No, our devotional service cannot stop for anything. It is transcendental to all these material changes and inebrieties. We want to develop that thing that I want to act from the platform of the soul no matter what circumstance I am in. Swarga apavarga narkeshu. Sometimes we might be in this particular situation, in this life also we may be in a hellish condition. We may be in very difficult circumstances, but can anything stop my enthusiasm, my surrender, my eagerness and my desire to serve Krishna and his devotees? No, that we can always do. Nothing can take that away from us. People can take away everything from us, but nobody can take away that. So we have to develop this mood. And the more we develop this mood, the more we will always be happy in our life. Because we will not be affected. Because we are serving without pretension. So we are not going into bhakti to get some name or fame or prestige or position or, you know, whatever. If we go in with that, Krishna will give us that. We will not get bhakti. We will get all those things. So we want to work without any pretensions. We don't want all this bhukti, mukti. You know, bhukti means material enjoyment. Mukti means this kind of liberation from matter and siddhis, all these different perfections. We don't want that. We only want bhakti. So that is what Prabhupada is stressing here in the purport, and that is what Sukadeva Goswami is telling, that may the Lord be pleased with me. That means, may the Lord be pleased with me. May I be able to offer this unpretentious devotional service. Then I can know the Lord like that. We'll do the next one. Shriyapatir Yagnapatir Prajapatir Dhiyam Patir Lokapatir Dharapati Patir Gatish Chandaka Vrishni Satvatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Pati. It's beautiful, very poetic. So may Lord Sri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees, the protector and glory of all the kings like Andaka and Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, the husband of all goddesses of fortune, the director of all sacrifices and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all, be merciful upon me. So he is again expressing that please be pleased upon me, please have mercy on me, please let me serve you without any pretensions. Like that. And then we'll read the last paragraph. All these qualifications as the different types of pati mentioned in this verse are meant for Lord Sri Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami has therefore especially mentioned the pati and gati of the Yadu dynasty. The members of the Yadu dynasty knew that Lord Sri Krishna is everything, and all of them intended to return to Lord Krishna after he had finished his transcendental pastimes on the earth. The Yadu dynasty was annihilated by the will of the Lord because its members had to return home with the Lord. The annihilation of the Yadu dynasty was a material show created by the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the Lord and the members of the Yadu dynasty are all eternal associates. The Lord is therefore the guide of all devotees, and as such, Shukadeva Goswami offered him due respects with love-laden feelings. So here he is the pati and the gati of the Yadu dynasty. Like that. He is glorifying like that. Text 21. Yadangrya vidhyana samadhi dhotaya dhyanu pashyanti hi tattva matmanaha vadanti chai tatkavayo yatharucham sami mukundo bhagavan prasidatam. So it is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna who gives liberation. By thinking of his lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities, the devotees in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of him according to their whims. May the Lord be pleased with me. So many times we are in different situations. And we may be in very difficult situations. And many times we think about how do we work our way around difficult situations, what kind of intelligence, we try to apply intelligence and all. So we have to do that. But while doing that, we must constantly meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. Because finally that is the goal. The goal is not that, we cannot have material goals here. Our goal has to be spiritual, that we want to attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So sometimes we may be in difficult situations, but we have to see, what is this difficult situation? Do I need to invest my time and energy in trying to fix this difficult situation? If I am investing my time and energy in fixing this situation, is it going to help me spiritually? Or am I just doing it because of some material reasons? Or am I doing it for some spiritual reasons, for my own protection of my spiritual life and the protection of others who are dependent upon me? Think carefully in every situation. And it is better to follow in the footsteps of the authorities and to constantly think of the lotus feet of the Lord at every second. Because when we are in extremely difficult situations, if you really think about the lotus feet of the Lord, you feel lot of solace and lot of protection. And you feel the Lord is there to help you. So that is our success. And here, he's telling that the mental speculators think of him according to their whims. And why do they think of them according to their whims? Because they are full of lot of desires. So then, because they have desires, their minds become whimsical. And then they also think according to however they want to think about him. And then they're saying, may the Lord be pleased with me. He's again requesting the Lord, be pleased with me. And we read the, again in the end of the paragraph, purport, Prabhupada explains, the humbleness of the pure devotee who is 100% engaged in his service puts the devotee of the Lord in a trance by which to realize everything. Because this is a sincere devotee of the Lord reveals himself as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10.10. The Lord, being the Lord of intelligence in everyone, even in the non-devotee, favors his devotee with proper intelligence, so that automatically the pure devotee is enlightened with the factual truth about the Lord and his different energies. The Lord is revealed not by one's speculative power or by one's verbal jugglery over the absolute truth. Rather, he reveals himself to a devotee when he is fully satisfied by the devotee's service attitude. Shukadev Goswami is not a mental speculator or compromiser of the theory of as many ways as many conclusions. Rather, he prays to the Lord only invoking his transcendental pleasure. That is the way of knowing the Lord. So, when we are in whatever difficult situation of life we may be in, or good situation of life we may be in, every moment we have to think about how can I serve the lotus feet of the Lord in this situation? And or how can I use this situation to further advance in my service to the lotus feet of the Lord and the devotees of the Lord? That should be our prayer. And nothing else should be our prayer. Text 22. Prachodita yena pura saraswati vitanvata jasya satim smritim hridi svalakshana pradurabhut kilasyataha same rishinam rishabha prasidatam. May the Lord, who in the beginning of the creation amplified the potent knowledge of Brahma from within his heart and inspired him with full knowledge of creation and of his own self, and who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma, be pleased with me. So we've read this thing. Tene Brahma Hridayadikavaye Muhyanti Yatsuraya. This is the first kind of first verse, first chapter, first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, he is the one who, Tene Brahma Hridayadikavaye, he inspired the potent knowledge of Brahma from within his heart. And he inspired him with full knowledge of creation and of his own self. And he is the one who inspired Brahma with all the knowledge of everything. And then he appeared to come out as Vedas from the mouth of Brahma. So that is such a wonderful Lord. And may he be pleased with me. He is the one who has given all the knowledge to Brahma, but he is giving credit to Lord Brahma. And then Shukadev Goswami is praying very humbly to the Lord. As we read in the last paragraph, by dint of being inspired from within by the Lord, so that he could explain the rightly explain the facts and figures of creation as inquired by Maharaj Parikshit. A spiritual master is not a theoretical speculator like the mundane scholar, but is Shrotiyam Brahmanishtanam. I don't know what that means. But basically he's praying that that Supreme Lord who actually gave Brahma the knowledge of creation based on which Brahma could create, and then all the Vedas came out like that, the mantras came from Brahma like that, to Narada, Narada to Vyasa and so on. Actually, he is the Lord of all knowledge. He is the Lord of all Lords. And may he be pleased with me so that I can do this service of explaining the facts and figures of creation properly to Maharaj Parikshit. Then text 23. Bhutair mahadbhirya ima puro vibhur nirmayashete yadamushu purushaha bhunte gunansho dashasho dashatmakaha Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsi Me. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enlivens the materially created bodies of the elements by lying down within the universe, and who in his Purusha incarnation causes the living beings to be subjected to the 16 divisions of material modes, which are his generators, be pleased to decorate my statements. So you are the cause of all causes. Everything happens, nothing happens without you. Everything is under your control. And may you be pleased with me so that whatever I speak properly, as he said in the previous verse. And you also decorate my statement so that I can explain properly. And here Prabhupada explains, as a fully dependent devotee, Shukadev Goswami, unlike a mundane man who is proud of his own capability, invokes the pleasure of the personality of Godhead so that his statements may be successful and be appreciated by the hearers. The devotee always thinks of himself as instrumental for anything successfully carried out, and he declines to take credit for anything done by himself. Because what can we do really? We're not capable of anything. Everything has been given to us to use in Krishna's service. We don't possess, we are not the possessor of these energies that we have been given. The godless atheist wants to take all credit for activities. So next time we find ourselves taking credit for our activities, we have to understand we are like atheists. We are not recognizing the presence of the Lord. Not knowing that even a blade of grass cannot move without the sanction of the Supreme Spirit, the Personality of Godhead. Sukadeva Goswami therefore wants to move by the direction of the Supreme Lord who inspired Brahma to speak the Vedic wisdom. So another thing is, you know, when devotees speak and they do something, they, like Prabhupada explained, and all the senior devotees in our movement also explained this thing, we don't say, I did it. Even if you may be the only individual who worked upon it, materially speaking, you never say, I did it. Because what could you do without the support of the three modes of material nature? Without the support of Maya Devi, without the support of the material ingredients, without the permission and the support and the facilitation by all the demigods who are the, you know, controllers of different aspects of the material nature, who are empowered controllers of the different aspects of material nature. And what would you do without the Supreme Lord giving all these ingredients to you, giving the intelligence to you, giving the inspiration from you within? So you never say anything, you never say, I did it, you say, we did it. Even if you are an individual, I used to have this question, so suppose you are alone doing it, and if you say we did it, then people will laugh at you because you are trying to be humble, but then at the same time, what is this we mean? And then I understood this, we means all these different personalities who worked, who helped and facilitated you in doing it. You were just an instrument. So we never want to take credit for things that we do. If we are taking credit, then we have to know at what rung of the ladder of devotional service we are. We are not even neophytes actually, we are not even beginners. Because if we want to take credit for everything, that means we don't recognize the Lord's presence and the presence of the Lord's energies and how without them nothing can happen. So you have to understand things properly and act accordingly, like that. Just 1 minute, I'm seeing what verse are we on. Okay, we just have 2 more verses. Namastasmai Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vedase Papur Jnanam Mayam Samya Yanmukham Buruhasavam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadev, the incarnation of Vasudev, who compiled the Vedic scriptures. The pure devotees drink up the nectarian transcendental knowledge dropping from the lotus-like mouth of the Lord. So he is again telling, whatever I am speaking has actually been compiled by the Lord himself. And I pray to him for his blessings. I offer my obeisances to him. That whatever I speak is, I am repeating what the Lord has spoken. And I am not adding anything new. And also whatever the Lord does and whatever the Lord speaks and whatever the, like say Srila Vyasadeva has explained about Krishna, he has explained all the different pastimes of the Lord, and all these different pastimes of the Lord are like drunk up very quickly and relished so much by the pure devotees of the Lord because they love hearing about the pure, about the Lord, like that. Etadevatma bhurajan naradaya viprachate veda garbho vyadhat sakshad yaddaha hariratmana. My dear King Brahma, the firstborn, on being questioned by Narada, exactly apprised him on this subject, as it had been directly spoken by the Lord to his own son, who was impregnated with Vedic knowledge from his very birth. So he is telling, I am not going to speak something based on what I think or someone else thinks. I am going to repeat whatever Lord Brahma spoke with Narada about this matter of creation, because whatever Lord Brahma is speaking was whatever the Lord Krishna himself told Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma is repeating that to Narada. So I am only going to repeat that. I don't want to add anything new, and this is my source of knowledge. So he's qualifying himself. And he is also qualifying the disciplic succession, and he is telling that the, whatever knowledge he is repeating, he is going to present as it is. And therefore, he is also praying for the mercy of the Lord, like that. So that he can repeat exactly whatever the Lord told to Brahma, who repeated to Narada. So therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is also praying that I am not of that capacity, but I want to be a proper instrument. So I pray to the Lord and to the mercy of the disciplic succession so that I can repeat whatever they have said. Like that. So one who hears these messages and tries to assimilate them gets perfect information of the material creation. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, fourth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Process of Creation. So just to summarize this chapter, Maharaj Parikshit inquires about the process of creation of the material universes. He could have very well asked about Lord Krishna himself and his intimate pastimes, but he did not. He first asked about the creation, and he did it for on our behalf, because Maharaj Parikshit is actually a pure devotee of the Lord. He understands the Lord perfect, very nicely. But he still asks for our benefit, so that we learn this proper method of approaching the Lord. And our intelligence gets gradually purified as we hear about the energies of the Lord, hear about the creation, and go further gradually like that. And as we understand the potencies of the Lord, then gradually we will be able to understand the intimate pastimes of the Lord also with all of his devotees in the 10th canto. And then we started reading about how Sukadeva Goswami prays for praise to the Supreme Lord so that he can do this service of creation and service of explaining the science of creation to Maharaj Parikshit. And basically his prayers are divided into different sections. One is the Lord's relationship with the material world, the Lord's role as a super soul, the Lord's opulence, unparalleled opulence, the Lord's dealings with the conditioned souls, which we read a lot about today. Last time. Then Lord's devotional service is what we read today. And then he's praying to request the Lord's mercy upon his service of explaining about creation. And then he's also offering his obeisances to the disciplic succession and the spiritual masters. So it's a lot of inspiration for us from Sukadeva Goswami prayers. When we are doing any service, how we should be thoughtful and mindful, and we should be prayerful. Even if it's a small service, something which we don't consider too much of, say washing pots or cleaning the temple or arranging the jewelry of the deities or, you know, whatever we are doing, we may think all so simple, but we must pray so that we can do it properly in the right consciousness, nicely. So some inspiration for us. And next week we will start reading about the creation, which is, so first the chapter is called The Cause of All Causes. And the thing will be, it's a very nice conversation between Narad Muni and Brahmaji, because Sukadeva Goswami is going to relate that conversation about how Narad Muni also asked this question to Brahmaji and how Brahmaji explained based on what he had heard from the Lord. So Narad Muni has some very nice questions for Brahmaji, very thoughtful questions. And one of the main questions is, you are the creator, you are creating everything, but I see you are meditating on someone. So that means you are getting your energy from somewhere. So who is that person? Very logically Narad Muni puts that question to him, very nicely. And we will read that particular section next time. So we're very grateful to have every one of you on the call. Is there any comments or any questions from anyone? Please share for the benefit of all of us. Any points you would like to share? Any inspiration from all of you, for all of us? I know this is a little technical, but it's still very beautiful.
I have one question.
Yes, please go ahead.
I understand the concept of Nishkarni, Nishkam Bhakti and everything else, but it's really hard to pray for people, like you said, even if people are not nice to you, to pray for them. You can move on, you can forgive them, forget about them, that's okay, but to pray for them, it's hard to pray for yourself, and let alone you have to pray for someone else. I don't know if I have a big heart right now. But what's the logic behind it? I mean, hello?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Sorry, I just put it because I'm just...
So sometimes we will not be in a situation in which we can do something immediately, but we can make it our aspiration and make it our goal. You may not be able to do it right now, but you can make it your goal. Okay, over the next year or next 2 years, I want to get there. Now the you have two questions there. One thing is, why should we pray for others, and what is the logic behind that? We pray for others because we have to understand what our real position is. Our real position is that we are spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. And just like we are spirit souls, part and parcels of Krishna, we are extremely dear to Krishna. No matter what situation we may be in, no matter what kind of consciousness we may have, as we just read in that verse, that the purport of which you read, Kirata Honandara Pulinda Pulkasha, all the different races, no matter what sinful mentality we have, but Krishna loves us unconditionally. And we are extremely insignificant if we compare ourselves to Krishna, and we compare ourselves to the greatness of Krishna and the greatness of His creation and the greatness of His energies. But we still have unlimited significance in the eyes of Krishna. And that is the love that Krishna has for us. And that is the love we as living entities are also hankering for. But we haven't had experience of that in the material world. And the closest experience we've had is the love that we have received from our parents. Now, because we are spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna, and we are unlimitedly significant in the eyes of Krishna, and we are unlimitedly and unconditionally loved by Krishna, we also realize another thing, that love is not just for us. Krishna loves each and every living entity in the same way as He's loving us. Unlike in the material world, there is this competition for love, that oh, this person loves me, they cannot love anyone else. If they love me, they love someone else, that means they don't love me. But it's not like that. Usually in the material world, people take sides, so that's what our experience is in relationships. So we don't understand the greatness of the relationship we have with Krishna. But Krishna's greatness is that we are unlimitedly significant in His eyes, and He has unlimited love for us. And the greatness is that it is such a big fountainhead of love. Krishna is such a huge, unending fountainhead of love, that He has that for each and every living entity on this planet and this universe and all the universes and all the living entities. Like that. Now, having understood that, where we are being loved fully by Krishna, and also we understand, and that nobody can change, even Krishna can't change that. Krishna can't stop loving us. We will always be unlimited loved by Krishna. We have been eternally and we will continue being eternally. So out of gratitude, we want to go back to Him, because that's the real relationship we have. And we want to serve Him. We want to go into our real position as a servant. So when we understand that thing nobody can change for us, then we naturally develop compassion and love for other living entities. Because we realize that we are the servant of this master who has love for all the other servants also. And as a servant, you are unlimitedly loved, you are unlimitedly significant, nothing can change that. And you want to situate yourself in your position of a servant to Krishna. You naturally want to serve the servants of the Lord also. And you want to desire the well-being of everyone around you. And what is the real well-being? The real well-being is they also come to this realization that you have come, that they have unlimited significance and they are being loved unlimitedly by Krishna, and they are part and parcel of Krishna, and you pray for so that they understand that relationship with Krishna and they also go back to Krishna. Just like you are experiencing this happiness, you wish that happiness for everyone else also, because everyone else is also a servant of Krishna. So this is the logic behind it. So we don't bother about the material level about, say now, I think the concern is someone did something bad to you, unfair to you, they treated you unfairly, and you're very upset about it. And now you're thinking, why should I pray for them? Or why should I not wish them the best? Or why should I not pray that they go back to Krishna, or they realize the relationship with Krishna? All the time we pray they realize their mistake, or they realize that what they did was wrong, and they have to suffer for their reactions and things like that. You know, anyway, that is going to happen. And it's very painful for anyone to suffer their reactions. I think we can all be large-hearted enough to desire the well-being of people around us, everyone around us, because they are also all parts and parcels of Krishna. And if they go to Krishna, they will automatically realize and understand everything without going through the painful process. Just like we are going through pain, because when they hurt us, we went through some pain. We don't want them to go through any pain just to realize something. They can realize everything if they go to Krishna. So then we pray for their ultimate benefit, like that. I don't know if I was being clear or not, but this is how I understand it. If anyone else would like to explain in a simpler way, please feel free, welcome. Sometimes the way I explain becomes very complex. Anyone else would like to share anything? Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so we want to be a well-wisher of everyone. Just like Krishna is our well-wisher. You know, Krishna is also accepting us. Krishna is trying to come closer to us, have a relationship with us. Every time we are turning our way of face away from Him and we are going in a different direction. But He is still being unconditionally loving to us. So we also want to be unconditionally loving like that to other people. Yes, any comments, any points? I don't know if I was clear, Malvika, but this is how I understand.
Very clear. We understand that we love God and God loves us unconditionally. He loves other human beings also unconditionally. So then, when He accepts us with our flaws, we should also accept everyone else with their flaws. And we should pray for them, because what bliss we experience by reading all this and discussing good things, they should also be the same way. And also, if our God is so forgiving and He has equal love for everybody, then we should also imitate that quality of Godhead.
Yes, thank you for explaining it so simply. I think
no,
I was
no,
very
no,
complex. Thank you for doing such a good job.
No, you explained it. That's why I could just say this out. It has come out like this. Otherwise, it would never have.
I also heard it in a few lectures, and that I heard it in like the same point. I heard it repeatedly in one of the speakers of our movement, his lectures, and that's how I understood. So thank you for explaining it so nicely and concisely. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. But you know, don't be surprised in next class I might ask the same question, because I'm a very unconditional soul right now. So.
Well, we all repeat the same question, so it's not a new thing. Yes, any other comments or any other points or any other sharing from other people for everyone's benefit? Questions?
I have one more question. I'll keep it very short.
Yes.
That the Pandavas were so powerful that their kingdom extended so vastly.
Yeah, Parikshit Maharaj was the king of the planet. So it was a world war actually. If you see, all these different kings participated in the war of Mahabharata. Then they all surrendered. Parikshit Maharaj, the way he was ruling and all, we read in the first canto, 11th, 12th chapters, that how everyone naturally subordinated themselves to him. So Parikshit Maharaj, the grandson of the Pandavas, yeah. So he was the king of the planet. Like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nice. There is so much information Prabhupada has given to us so that we can understand things properly. It's amazing. History, geographies, politics, social structures, spiritual knowledge. Prabhupada packs everything in his purports. It's very wonderful. All right then. Granthaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. God Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.